Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, all right. That's good. Glad to have you all here this morning. We're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. So first of all, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. And if so, we all please stand up now that Pastor Larry has sat down. We got to work the knees, man. It's part of the New Year's workout plan, Larry. Up and down. So you all bow your heads. We open up the word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, for this wonderful, wonderful day. I thank you for our church. I thank you that we can gather here together, God, and worship you. Praise your holy name. Thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus, that we set this day aside for every year to thank you for sending him to this earth and be born here to give his life for the remission of our sins, God. And Lord, I pray that you will anoint this service with your Holy Spirit, God, that everything that we do brings glory and honor to your name. And be with Larry as he brings your word this morning, God. I pray that you speak mightily through him and stir us with your Holy Spirit and change us into what you want us to be. I thank you for it in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Your prayers the last couple weeks. I'm just now getting my voice back, so please be patient with me. As of December 18th, we collected $1,917.52 for the Lottieman Christmas offering, almost halfway there. Today's offerings will be combined with last night's offerings, and I will give you the total next Sunday. Today is the last day of the noisy offering, so we're going to watch a video. Children, come up, get your cans up here in front. Wait until after the video is over, and then we're going to collect the noisy offering. I want to thank you for giving and for praying for our missionaries. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are Jason and Robin Ebyer, your IMB missionaries to a part of Thailand called Isan, where we serve as a part of a growing church planting team, along with several other missionaries.
We are currently in language study and building friendships with the purpose of sharing the good news of Jesus with the people of Isan.
Because of your giving, we had the opportunity this December to share the meaning of Christmas. We did that in Christmas celebrations in different villages and communities all around us. During those celebrations, the love of Christ was shared, the gospel was shared, and relationships were strengthened. Please pray with us for the 7 new believers who accepted Christ during these Christmas celebrations.
Thank you for giving to the Cooperative Program and the Lottieman Christmas Offering. It is truly making a difference in people's lives, both here and in eternity. And the Lottieman Christmas Offering. It is truly making a difference in people's lives, both here and in eternity.
All right, thank you. And now the kids will be collecting our noisy offering, which will be going towards the international missions.
celebrate the birth of your Son, the birth of our Savior. And in Him, Father, we have eternal life. Lord, the greatest gift that can ever be given. So, Lord, we just come and offer this praise to You on this special day, this special time. Lord, to give You all the glory that You deserve, to lift You up in such high praise. Lord, we just thank You for this blessed Christmas morn. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that this worship was glorifying to You and that this word will magnify You. Lord, we also want to lift up the house that is on fire as we speak. Lord, that was mentioned to me before I came up here over in Hooverson Heights. Lord, I just pray that You will be with that family at this time, Lord, and that somehow, some way, Lord, that You will reveal Yourself through this tragedy. So, Lord, we lift this family up to You and ask for a blessing for them, a gift, even that of Your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Good to see you all this morning. It has been a blessed Christmas season. I know that there's been a lot going on over this Christmas season, but we all have been blessed. And this morning, I want you to think back as far as you can, when we're speaking of blessings. I want you to think back as far as you can, and I want you to think about this. What was the greatest Christmas present that you ever received? That's kind of a hard one, isn't it? What is the greatest Christmas present you ever... Anybody want to say anything? It's good, Hoss. Your Red Ryder BB gun. There you go, buddy. Anybody else?
My Barbie townhouse.
Your Barbie townhouse. Anybody else? Yes.
Got something odd in Chantel. It's a fast food tray.
Nice. I need to talk to you after. Yes. A piano when you were 10. Nice. Anybody else?
I knew my girlfriend wanted to marry me when she bought me a rifle.
Your girlfriend wanted. Yeah, here you go. Nice job, Belinda. Anybody else? A whirly bird. Now, there has to be something I haven't heard in a while. A whirly bird. Nice.
It wasn't Christmas, but my salvation.
Your salvation? Amen. Amen. Right? Anybody else? I mean, somebody back there got something really cool for this Christmas. Come on, speak up. It revs up, it goes vroom, vroom, it goes in gear. Somebody got a what? A dirt bike for Christmas. No doubt, man. That's pretty cool, right? Huh? Hopefully he got it already. Yeah, he did. That was just mom that spoke. Yeah. I'm just surprised it's not a cast yet. So
that's next year.
Whoa! Dude, I can't even help you. I can't even joke that off. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Well, I know that some of you are already thinking of another gift as we ask this question. And we've got some pretty incredible gifts that we can remember, right? Well, for me, I think it was a Steelers house, a collectible that belonged to my dad. That's it right there. So I got that. That was gifted to me on the first Christmas after my dad passed away. And the story behind that is my dad left papers all over everywhere. Like, I like this. I like this. This would be nice. I really like this. It's too much money, but I really like, I mean, just relentless. He had to know my dad, so all of us kids got together, and we bought this for him, and he cried. Yeah. And so, and I've shared this with you before, I believe, so I hold that very dear to myself. We don't put up a whole bunch of Christmas stuff, But that one I set out every year on the table where we serve dessert. It's very dear to me because it was gifted to me after my dad died. But the question is, how do you measure the value of a gift? We got some pretty incredible gifts, but how do you measure the value of a gift? I mean, when it comes to a gift, how do you judge its worth? How do you judge its worth and value? For instance, like this, if you were to have my dad's Steelers house appraised, it might appraise for, it's a collectible, it might be $100. Certainly not a lot of money for a gift that I consider the greatest gift ever, right? So what is it that truly determines the value of a gift? Well, this morning I thought it would be fun to figure that out, right? During this Christmas season, we church are reminded of the greatest gift ever given to any of us. Jerry mentioned it, right? The greatest gift ever given to any of us, the gift that God gave us to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. And here we will find the beginnings of how value of a gift we have been given. It says there, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us. That's Christ, right? That's his love manifested towards us. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So this morning, I would like to suggest to you three ways that we can measure the value of a gift, specifically the gift that God gave to us. And here is the first one. God's gift to you is measured by its usefulness. God's gift to you is measured by its usefulness. So what is the usefulness of God's gift to us? What is the usefulness of that? Well, if you look at verse 9 shows us the usefulness of God's gift and how is that? It is so that we might live through him. Very important. Jesus said it this way over in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, I have come that they may have life. Who are they? We, us, right? I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Do you realize that this is a promise? Jesus is saying that this gift is not just life, not just existence, but life with which means something. A life that has a value. It's a life that is based on love and not just any love, not any this feel-good kind of love. It's not that kind of love. It's his love. And if you have received God's gift of love in Jesus Christ, then you have a life that is worth so much that it also gives abundant life. Not just life, but abundant life. A life with a purpose. A life which has value. A life with meaning. A life that has substance. A life that will have eternal consequences, which in Christ, those are very good consequences, by the way, right? They have eternal good consequences and eternal benefits. That's what God's gift of salvation gives you and me. It's very valuable. You need to understand that God has made you a special person for a special purpose. God made you as a special person with a special purpose, and that is to share in his love and in his purpose. That God has purpose for me and in me. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says that he chose us. That's very important. He chose us. That he actually picked us out for himself. He picked us out for himself as his own. Look what it says. He chose us before the foundations of the world. Verse 5. And adopted us as the sons of, as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Let me tell you, friends, do you understand that what this verse means to us? I want you to just start there. It means that he chose us. A lot of us think, well, I choose God. I, when my time, when I'm good and ready, when I think it's right, when I change my life, when I get myself straightened out, when I get this. No. You got reverse thing. That's all wrong thinking. He chose us. Go back to Ephesians, before the foundations of the world. You get that? This means this. It means that you were specially created, handcrafted, uniquely made for his purpose. You were set apart. That's what the word holy is. The word holy means set apart. So as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, he says, look, I chose you, and now I'm going to set you apart specifically to the praise of the glory of his grace. I am here for the glory of God, to be useful for his glory. And you are here for the glory of God, to be useful for his glory. We are here for his glory, to bring to him all the glory that he is due. Therefore, my purpose and your purpose is to live a life that magnifies the Lord. My purpose and your purpose is to encourage and support fellow Christians through his love in you and in me. Our purpose is to become more like Christ. That's my goal. Listen, I'm not perfect, and you know that, right? But neither are you. Listen, we're not perfect. But our purpose is to become more Christ-like. And I have to know this gift before I can become more of the image of Christ. Our purpose is to use our gifts and talents in helping others to become more like Christ as well. Do you understand that? Our gifts and our talents is to helping others to become more like Christ. Our purpose is to tell those who don't know Jesus that there is good news. And what is that good news? What is the good news that Jesus wants us to share? What is it? He loves you. And he does. He loves you to the point of death, right? Listen, our purpose is to bring glory to God in all that we do, in all that we say. That is our purpose. That is our usefulness to God, right? That is our gift back to God. And listen, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, let me tell you what I personally long to hear. I don't know you, but I personally long to hear this. In Matthew 25, verse 21, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Listen, I don't know about you, but that's really all I need to hear. Is, look, you've done well, son. Who doesn't like to hear that from their dad? You've done well, son. You're a good and faithful servant. You're a good and faithful son. Listen, I long to hear that from our Lord. You're a faithful servant. You've brought me glory. You faithful servant, have enlarged the kingdom of God. You, faithful servant, have done well for me and for the purpose for which I have saved you. You see, God's gift of salvation to us is useful. It's very useful, right? It gives us meaning and value, and it gives us our purpose, which is to bring glory to God. Now watch, here's the second thing. Secondly, God's gift to you is measured by its cost. It's measured by its cost. Many times I've spoken with you about giving God our best, right? We are to always give God our best. God doesn't want our leftovers. He doesn't want the cheap stuff. He wants the absolute best that you and I can give him. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, David says this. David was offered for free land, right, by the landowner. He was offered land for free on which to build an altar of sacrifice to the Lord. And here's what David said. This was offered to him for free. And David comes along and looks at this guy and he says, "I will not offer burnt offerings to my Lord God, which cost me nothing." He says, I can't just take this and then offer the Lord as mine. It's got to cost me something. David said that if he was going to give a sacrifice to the Lord, he was going to give his best, something of value, something of worth. So he gave 50 shekels of silver. 50 shekels of silver, which amounts to about 1.5 pounds of silver. So why would David do that? Well, I believe it's because that it was God, it's because of what God had done for David. He has given us the most precious gift that he could possibly give, something of worth, something of incredible value, something genuine, something true, something pure, something that is everlasting, something that will not tarnish, something that will never pass away. You know that old collectible house? It'll pass away. That dirt bike, it'll pass away. That gun, the whirlybird. But there was one gift that was mentioned that will never pass away. It was called salvation. That is something that is one of a kind. Something that cost God hugely. Something that cost Jesus something. Something that was sacrificial to him. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10 again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Look at verse 10 again. It says, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. It is the satisfaction or the payment or the debt that could never be paid by you and me. He paid that. The propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins to God. Listen, God knew what had to be done. God knew what had to be done. He knew what price had to be paid. He knew what it was going to cost him, and yet he sent his best for you and me. He didn't hold back. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, born as a child in a manger, perfect and undefiled by sin. He was born of a virgin for the salvation of the world, for you and I. And listen, since he gave that much to you and me, so then should we not even ask, what should I give back to you? If he gave that much to me and for me, should I have to ask, what should I give back to him? Listen, most of us may not be able to give something of ourselves that equates to gold, amen? We may not have anything to give of ourselves that equates to gold, but let me tell you what we do have. Some of us can offer God some of our fine silver, amen? We can offer God something of ourselves that it would equate to fine silver. Understand this, God's gift to us came with a cost, and that cost to God gave value to us. God's gift to us made us valuable and eternal. So even if we receive nothing else, if we receive nothing else in this world but our own salvation, how could we ever repay that? People say, well, God's against me. He's punished me. God is this. God is that. God's doing this. If he gives you nothing else but your salvation, is that not the greatest gift of all? So why would we not give the best and the first that we have to the one who saved us from our sins? Amen? We need to think about that. Finally, point number 3. God's gift to you is measured by its effectiveness. God's gift to you is measured by its effectiveness. If I get a new light for Christmas, should I expect it to shine? I mean, if I get a new flashlight for Christmas, do I not expect it to shine? If I get a new radio for Christmas, then should I not expect it to play music? And if I get a new chair, then should I expect it to hold me up when I sit in it? Likewise, if I get a brand new Indian motorcycle or a brand new Spider motorcycle, or would I expect it to take me where I want to go? If I get a new gun, which I just got one for my birthday, and thank you all for the birthday wishes. I appreciate that. I got a new gun. Don't I expect it to shoot? Now, if I got a brand new shiny shovel, I'd probably re-gift that to Steve Schaefer. But the real question that needs to be asked is this: is the gift effective? Does the gift do what it is intended to do? Because that determines its effectiveness. And what is God's gift intended to do? It's in the verses. What's God's gift intended to do? Isn't it intended to change you? We think it's just to change our destiny. But God's gift is intended to change you. Look at these verses again, 1 John 4, 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You know, I'm not always easy for God to love. And I'm sure that it's not easy for you to love me sometimes. Vice versa. But this gift that God gave overcomes all of that. Overcomes all of my shortcomings. His gift to you overcomes all of your shortcomings. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us that we might live through him, that we might love one another. Now look again at verse 1 in the grammar. Look, I want you to give you a little grammar lesson here really quick, right? Look at verse 1. In grammar, this is called a conditional sentence. A conditional sentence, which means if this event happens, then this event will happen, right? So, I don't know, how was the name? So if I pull the trigger, I expect the gun to fire, right? A bullet to come out, right? So it's a conditional sentence. If this event happens, then this event will happen. Now, let me show you. Verse 11. If God so loved us, right? There's a condition. If God so loved us, then we should live through him by living in his word and following his word, right? If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Do you see it? Do you see the condition there? If God so loved us, which he does, right? Then we also ought to love one another. Loving one another is the result of God loving us. That's how you can love me, and that's how I can love you. Now, I want you to notice the word ought there. The word ought there. We also ought to love one another. Now, although it may sound like a suggestion, it is not a suggestion. The actual word in the Greek is a word that is used to express obligation. For example, you ought to pay your debt. A lot of us racked up debt on this Christmas season, right? We ought to pay that debt back, right? The actual word in the Greek is a word that is used to express obligation. It is a word that expresses a natural expectation. Watch, the word ought, it is used there, is a word that expresses a natural expectation or a logical consequence. Because of this, then this. The root word there means to owe. You owe a payment and you are under obligation. You must pay it back, right? I owe it, so I'm under obligation. I must pay it back. You go down to the bank and you take out a loan. You then owe a debt. Then you are obligated to pay it back. So look at verse 11. If God so loved us, we are obligated to not only love him, but to love one another. If God so loved us, we are expected to love one another. If God so loved us, we also must love one another. Why? Why are you beating this, preacher? Why is that important? If God so loved me that we need to love one another. I'll tell you why. It's very simple. This is so profound. I mean, you're going to just be blown back in your seat. You want to know why I'm supposed to love others if God loves me? Because God's not done loving the world yet. Remember, you have purpose. You have meaning. God's not done loving the world yet. He wants to keep loving the world, and he does that through you and me, right? I don't get it that God would have a plan for my life that he would want to use me for his purpose? I don't get it, but he does. You see, his gift to us is so valuable. His gift to us is like the shiny shovel. You see, I'll never re-gift that Christmas house. Donna may after I die, or Beth Ann may after we're gone, but I'll never re-gift that. But we, the gift that God gave to you and I, it's like that shiny shovel. I said I would re-gift it to Steve. That's what we're supposed to do with the gift that he gave us. We're to re-gift it to others. And how does it do that? How does God do that? Through you and I. Because why? We're a life that has been changed. We know the love of God, and we need to share the love of God. That's how we are to love through him, by loving God, loving others, and serving both. Jesus said it this way, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." There's one that's kind of a conditional sentence there again. "As I let my light shine before men, it will bring glory to the Father in heaven." Now let me ask you this. Has God's love changed you? I can look at you straight in your eyes today, and I can answer that question for me, and I can tell you yes. You know, I can remember when I used to, back in the day, when I used to go to the gym, Hoss, and the owner of the gym came and started talking to me about spiritual matters. He found out I was a pastor, and he says, "How do you know that God is real?" I says, "Because he changed my life, and I wasn't looking for him to do that. I was completely satisfied in my life. I had all I wanted to do. I had all the Budweiser I wanted to drink. I had all the drugs I wanted to smoke. I had all the profanity I wanted to say. I had it all. I had all the coolest toys. I had everything. I was the cool kid on the block." No, really, I was. Seriously, ask my wife. I was invited to every single party there was. I was the first one on the invitation list, buddy. I can look at you and say that God changed my life, and I didn't want it to be changed. And he goes, "Really?" And I said, "Really. That's how I know God is real." So does God's gift affect your behavior? Well, I don't drink as much. I don't smoke as much dope. No, I'm just kidding. Does God's love affect the way that you treat people? That is really important. Does God's love affect the way, maybe they don't think like we do. They don't act like we do, but has God's love affect the way you treat people? Let me ask you this. Are you regifting God's love that he gave to you, to others around you? Does God's love affect you? And does it affect you, but does his love in you infect others? I heard this on the radio a couple weeks ago, and I had Donna look it up because I thought it fit perfectly with today's message. 1 Corinthians 13 is known as what? 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love verses. Often, many times, read at weddings. I use it all the time in weddings. But it's considered the love verses, right? Well, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Christmas version. Right? We're talking about how does God's love play out in you towards others, right? 1 Corinthians 13, the Christmas version. "If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkle lights, and shiny balls, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not show love to my family, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shining angels and crocheted snowflakes, attempt a myriad of holiday parties, and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I have missed the point. Why? Let me tell you why. Because love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the husband. Love is kind. Even when I'm hurried and tired, love is kind. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, but it is thankful that they are there to be in the way. I don't even want to touch on that. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. That's the love that God has gifted to you and me in Jesus Christ. That's the love that God has gifted you and me in Jesus Christ. Listen very carefully. Video games will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Guns will rust. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love endures. Listen, God's gift of love is intended to change us. That's what it's intended to do. I didn't see it coming. Like I told you, I didn't see my life changing. But when I said, I believe and trust in Jesus Christ, he began a work in me that I couldn't even begin to do. Do you want to know why? I didn't want to. I didn't want to change. But I'll guarantee you this, and again, I'll look you straight in the eye. I don't ever want to go back to where I was, because what I have now is far greater than any of that thing that the world could give me. And that's exactly what God's gift will do in you if you open your heart to Jesus in his way. And in this, God's love should change us into loving, compassionate people who care for the needs of those who are all around us. Not those just like us, but all of those around us. Just like God's love did for us. You know, my neighbors are professing atheists. I've told you this before. His wife was taken out in the ambulance a couple times. We've called them every day or every other day. I go shovel their walks. I shovel, plow their driveways. It's not up to me to only shovel those who know Christ. I'm to show the love of God, especially to those who don't. You see me? You feeling it? Why? Because that's what God's love did for you and I. That while we were still sinners, while we were not believers, while I was not a believer, while you were not a believer, God brought and demonstrated his love to you. Listen, God's love doesn't tune in to the latest music, but you know what? God does expect us to take his gift of love and re-gift it. Understand, God wants to love the world, but he has a desire to do it through you and me. I don't get it, but he does. He has a desire to do it through you and me. So let me ask you this question. Are you willing to let God show his love through you? Are you willing to do that? This Christmas day, are you willing to look at yourself, look at God, and say, I'm willing to let you show your love through me? Listen, Christians. Once we have accepted God's gift of love, then we become the delivery system for the others to receive his gift. We are the delivery system for others to receive his gift. We are like the Jesus UPS truck. We can show people the way out of an eternal hell and UPS them ups, right? We can UPS them to eternal life in heaven. So let me ask you this question this Christmas. How big is God's gift of love in your life? Can others see it? Does it stand out among all the rest? Do others see what you have and want it? Would others desire the gift that you have rather than what they already have in the world? When others see your life, do they see God's gift to you year-round? Not just this Christmas season, but year-round? Are they excited by what they see? Listen, we should never use our Christianity to beat somebody with it. We need to use our Christianity to love somebody with it. Or are they receiving a wrong delivery of who Jesus is and what a Christian is? Listen, throughout this season, we hear of hope, peace, joy. We hear those things, right? We get them on Christmas cards. We hear them in songs. But you understand the greatest of these is love. And if you are a Christian, then his love lives in you. God sent us the gift of love that first Christmas morning, and it's the biggest, most beautifully wrapped package of all. Now, do you remember some of the Christmas gifts that people said they were the greatest that they had ever received? Remember we talked about those in the beginning? Well, my guess is that most of them, that the gift became priceless to them because of the giver. To those who do not know the gift of Jesus Christ, the price that he paid really has no value to them. People who do not believe in Jesus Christ, then this gift has no value to them because they have no love for and no understanding of the giver. The Steeler House. Why does it mean? It was because of the giver. But for those of us who know Jesus Christ, for those of us who have committed our lives to him, for us, we can truly understand the value of the most costly, most valuable, most meaningful gift ever given, eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Given to us by God himself, the Heavenly Father himself, right? And that should mean something for and to all of us. Because there is no other gift that could ever be given that would measure up to the power of that one single gift in the life of a believer. I have God living in me. Oh. Let me ask, is that a gift that you want? I didn't understand it was a gift I wanted until after I got it. And I want to give it to you, but I don't want to give you mine. Is this a gift that you want? Are you looking for it? Are you searching for it? Do you desire it? Do you want it? When you are looking around at all what the world offers you, the world can offer you many, many things. But when you look out and look at everything that the world is offering to you, do you want something more? Something that is effective, something that is valued, something that is useful, something that will never wear out, something that will never break down, something that will never give out? Do you want the biggest, best present of all, the gift of love and forgiveness of your sins that you can't do on your own, but a gift from God can remove all the sins that you have ever committed? Yes, that one. And that one too. Oh, that one that nobody knows? Yep, that one too. Do you want forgiveness? A life that will last you for eternity? If that's you this morning, you just have to reach out and accept the gift. How many people got gifts this morning? When did it become a gift? When you what? Say it louder. When you accepted it. When you took it. Right? It's not a gift until you receive it, till you take it. Right? Until you reach out and accept the gift that God has offering you through His love, you can't receive it until you come and say, I want that. He's offering His love to you today through His Son, Jesus Christ. This morning, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ enough to follow Him, then today is your day. It is a great day. Because God has a present just for you. And trust me when I tell you, it is the greatest present that you will ever, ever receive. It's sent with God's greatest love. His name is Jesus Christ. The gift given, eternal life in heaven through the forgiveness of your sins in and through Jesus Christ. God gave the gift of His Son for you. For you. Question. God gave the best, most valuable, most costly thing that He had. He gave you the gift of love through His Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. He gave that gift to you. Question. Will you gift your life to Him? Would you commit your life today and receive eternal life? Trust me when I tell you, it'll be the most merriest of Christmases you have ever, ever received. Father God, thank You for Your Son Jesus, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You loved us so much. You just didn't tell us about it, but You demonstrated it. You didn't talk about it. You did something about it. And Lord, I know there are many like me who aren't out there looking for You. They're not out there looking for this salvation. But Lord, open their eyes and their hearts and their minds to know that apart from You, there is no life. So we thank You, Father God, for caring for us and loving us and giving us the most precious gift of all, and that is Your Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, He was born in a manger. And yes, He died. But He also rose from the dead. And because He has life, we can have life. And that eternally with You forever and ever and ever. So, Father, I just pray that You would move in the hearts of all here today, Christians and non-Christians alike, that we would rededicate our life or give our life to Your love. But that, Lord, those of us who call ourselves Christians, we would leave this place today and re-gift that love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Excuse me. Sorry. Thank you very much, Angie. And my wife and I would like to tell you all Merry Christmas. And we ask that God's blessing be upon you and your family, not only this day, but throughout the entire year. We love you very much, and we thank you for all your generosity over this holiday. And we can't begin to repay that either. But we just want to tell you, we love you. Genuinely, we love you. And so thank you for being part of our family. Merry Christmas. God bless you, and thank you for coming.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.